This week in Retronauts, we're shining. Everyone, welcome to another episode of Retronauts. I'm Jeremy Parrish, and I am in Kyoto, Japan, getting ready for Bit Summit. And before the show begins, I was able to talk Tetsuya Mizuguchi to meet with me again and finish up the interview we started last year when I was at Bit Summit. So, Miz, thank you very much for taking time right before a busy show.
Thank you for coming again.
My pleasure. There's still a lot of great games that you've worked on that I'd like to talk about. And some of them are freshly relevant, actually. We didn't make it to games like Luminous in our conversation last year. And now that's become part of the conversation again, thanks to the new version you're working on. So I'm excited to try out that game, but I'm also excited to talk to you about the creative process for the original version. So instead of wasting time on setup, let's just jump straight into the conversation.
Okay.
Yeah, last year when we spoke, we covered a lot of the work you did with Sega, pretty much up through the Dreamcast era. Before we move on from that, I was just kind of curious to hear your take on what it was like working at Sega during the Dreamcast year. Because from my perspective, as an outsider looking in, I feel like it was just a period of complete creativity and freedom. And I don't know if that is really like the experience you had during the Dreamcast era, but it really seems like, if people had a great idea, they could pursue it and publish it. And the result was just all these really great games on a very, very unique platform.
So it's true that, Sega having this new platform and the name itself had carried some weight. It was called the Dreamcast. In order for this new platform to succeed, we were tasked with new challenges. Content had to goals and seek out sort of new, unique, and even sort of try to widen that audience. So myself included, we challenged ourselves to come up with very unique and original games such as Rez and Space Channel 5. And I hope that uniqueness really came through and shined, on that console. So you can say that there was definitely a push towards the out of us, the developers, the teams. But quickly, sort of to fast forward to when it was decided that Dreamcast was no more and that Sega was going to become a third-party publisher, there could have been an option to perhaps stay, but where I stood was that I wanted to challenge myself to sort of newer area of creativity or challenge my own creativity, not within an organization, but really my own. And so it was a decision that I made at that time to leave Sega and start my own company at that time.
Mm-hmm. Was that a difficult choice to make? You'd been with Sega for nearly a decade and really kind of gotten your start in games that way. So I feel like it must have been, a tough choice to leave the company and start out on your own.
So yes, of course, it was not an easy decision. I believe at that time I had already put in 12 or so years for at the company at Sega, and to think that I was to kind of start all over again, and not just start all over in terms of creating games, but really almost from scratch, from zero. And so probably a lot more sort of nervousness surrounding what that was going to be like. But having made that decision, I knew that that was the way that I was, you know, going to pursue.
As you went out and started your own studio, what were your goals with Q Entertainment? Like, what did you hope to accomplish besides, you know, obviously just making video games?
If I look back at that time, what I was hoping to accomplish was that I wanted to challenge myself to creating or conceptualizing the games, kind of all kinds, is too maybe a too wide of a choice of words, but really just wanted to see what other games I wanted to challenge myself. But at the root of it, there was definitely an audio visual sort of core to what I was thinking. So if I take Rez as an example, it would have been too strategic concept forward. You know, what it would be like to and push that forward. That was an aspect that I knew I wanted to work on. I didn't know exactly what kind of shape or form it would take. It wasn't in that sense. And I also knew that an important element of technology was going to come into play, and that it was going to help shape what to go into. And so if you were to kind of put a compass on the table in front of me, like, I knew which direction I was headed, and I had a sense or feeling that there was something, as long as I faced that direction and pursued it and continued to explore it, that was the direction that I was headed. So it was a little bit of a adventure for me.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, you mentioned that your games, you have a very strong audiovisual component to them, and that you wanted to focus on new technology. And I really feel like Luminous, the first game that you published under Q, really does embody that. It's a very audiovisual focused game, and it really showed off, you know, the appeal of the PSP hardware. Was that when you were working on that project, was that the first game concept that you came up with at Q, or was that something that came along later? Like, what was the creative process in coming up with Luminous and developing it?
So when I was working on Rez and Space Channel 5, so this is, we're talking about the PS2 Dreamcast days, it's sort of hard to think about it now because it's there and we don't even think twice about it. But there was really no way for you to plug in your headphones and to have a real deep sort of connection with the music element that was in any video game. And I felt that the power of music in games was not being or expressed in the way that it should. The technology wasn't there. And looking back, I think it's okay to say that because of the lack of you being able to listen to, you know, putting on a good set of headphones and really being sort of intimate with the audio quality and the audio output that you're getting out of the game experience, that wasn't there. I think it's okay to say that the PlayStation 2 days and the Dreamcast days, in terms of audio experience, was kind of on the poor side. The environment just wasn't there. And so when the PSP was announced, and Sony themselves sort of positioned it as, this is the new Walkman. It's an interactive Walkman. And you can basically take it anywhere, listen to music. It was the anywhere, everywhere you can play. And so that of this was a huge inspiration coming up with this concept for Luminous. That's a definite yes. The handheld itself really pushed the sort of concept and the idea forward for me. As I said earlier, I wanted to really focus on the audio-visual experience. And while I had something like Res in mind, when I was presented with the PSP, I can take it into a direction where you can still have that audio-visual experience, but something that anyone can maybe play. It's not as intimidating, and anyone can play. You could carry it around, pull it out of your pocket, and play anytime. And the more you play, the more you sort of feel good, is what we say a lot with the games that I've been making. But you're as if you're listening to music, but also playing a game at the same time. So from there, in terms of coming up with the core concept for Luminous.
You went with a puzzle game style, which is something that I don't think you had you'd worked on before. You know, you look at Space Channel 5 and it's a rhythm game. You look at Res and it's really kind of a shooter. Sega Championship Rally is a racing game. So this was a new approach. Why did you go with a puzzle game when you were kind of making your debut on PSP with Luminous?
So believe it or not, I've always wanted to. At some point in my career, I felt like I wanted to creating a puzzle game. So it wasn't a brand new idea or something that just popped in front of me. And the reason for that is that, you know, puzzle games are simple. It is not simple, easy to make. It's a very complex in trying to perfect a puzzle game. Perhaps a shooter or some other games, not to say that they're fake, but it feels like there is a path to how you would make a shooter or a different kind of game. What I'm trying to say is that with a puzzle game, start creating the rules from zero, from scratch. And so it's a very tedious, very complex, and very complicated process in trying to come up with the right set of rules for a great puzzle game. And I've always wanted to challenge myself at some point in doing that. So it was just kind of the right opportunity to make that happen. Yeah, and in terms of simplicity, there was also an interest, if I were to bring in that whole synesthesia sort of element, is that while puzzle games seem, like I said, easy to play, there is an intercept that I wanted to challenge myself and see how best we can achieve this. And what that intersect is that you feel like you're playing or creating music, so you feel that rhythm. But on the other hand, you have this achievement game, you're clearing these blocks, or you basically you're progressing in the game, right? And so really simply and almost like purely, I wanted to see how we can two elements and how we can perfectly sort of balance it and perfectly intersect and how they will intertwine together as one game. So I think it really started from that thought.
Yeah, at this point, you've worked on quite a few puzzlers. And I think it's interesting that you say puzzle games, are simple to play, but not simple to create. And I've played many puzzle games that just don't work. In your opinion, what is the secret to finding that balance? Like, in your mind, what makes a good puzzle game?
まあ、いろんな例え方があるんだけど、その、まず一つはやっぱりその、右脳と左脳。
I know you asked, you know, what's the secret? I don't think there is a right or maybe wrong or answer. But for me, at least, the sort of thought process or the way that I view or maybe approach puzzle games and how I personally kind of went through the process is it's how a human's right brain and left brain may function. So let's just say one side takes the more logical side. The other side takes the more sensibilities, sense, and maybe the emotions and everything that is not sort of written. Okay, so if I were to sort of replace the logical and the sensibility and emotional sides, they would come out to one side is the brain that thinks and the other side is the brain that feels. And so when it comes to how do we marry these two, how can I marry these two elements but at the same time enhance the experience, what you're experiencing, what you're doing, and what you're feeling? And I felt that was a very important element when we were designing these puzzle games. And so going back to logic, logic is a set of rules, and they don't change. Even if the output on a screen or a handheld console, TV monitor, even if the resolution increases, the logic doesn't necessarily change. But if resolution changes and you're sort of feeling or sensing something from that output, then the experience itself is enhanced. And maybe you feel better or you are seeing and feeling and yeah, the entire sort of experience enhances. So I was just trying to really think of like, how can we marry the think side and the feel side and trying to marry those two, but having a sort of enhanced experience by marrying those two sides and two elements together.
Yeah, I really see that marriage you're talking about of left and right brain in Luminous, because there is the very sort of left brain satisfaction of clearing away those blocks and organizing things. But at the same time, the game almost turns you into a DJ where you're creating music and creating almost like, you know, transitions between songs. And so there's this kind of creative element to it that is also very satisfying. So with that in mind, you know, music is so critical to Luminous and to the experience. And in my mind, like the track list itself, the song selections are so integral to that game. What was the chicken and egg relationship there? Like, did you come up with the mechanics first and then choose songs to fit into that? Or, you know, were you inspired by the music? Like, were there song selections that you were really driven to incorporate into the game that then shaped the mechanics and the direction of the game?
まずは確かにそのメカニクスがやっぱり最初に 来るんですよね。
The chicken and the egg, which came first? So, I would definitely have to say the game mechanics came first.
シンプルな3だけで。
We're designing the game mechanics. What we do, or what we did, is that we started experimenting with very, very simple sounds. Why we do that is that we're testing out the game mechanics, layering in some very simple sounds. And we have to first confirm that the element of fun is there without sort of dressing it up. We have to make sure that the potential and the possibility can be confirmed. And then from that point moving forward, once we confirm that this is fun, then we maybe add more sounds, but at the same time, then we start increasing the resolution. As we're doing that in the process, we are, you know, a lot of these are floating in our heads, and we have these sort of images of what kind of songs, what kind of music would really go well with the mechanics that we're building. In the case of Luminous, as I think everyone knows very well, the first skin or the first song, Shining, I think that was a great choice for the opening. It's very emotional. It's very sort of representative of what Luminous is as an experience. But how we sort of met or came across Shining is that while we were still working on the game mechanics and, you know, adding in the sounds and testing, we would sort of think about what should come in the, let's say, the first phase. What about the middle part of the game? And what about maybe towards the end of the experience? And as we were talking about these things, we came across and quote unquote met this training by Mondo Grosso. And so we started talking, you know, approached them and started talking about how we can best sort of fit or welcome the song into the game. And so that was really the process of trying to music that would go well with the game mechanics.
From the player perspective, Luminous is one of the few games I've played where I play it and I just can't imagine it adding anything to it. It just feels very complete, very whole. So I'm sure as a creator, your perspective varies, differs because, you know, when you create something, you can always see like ways, oh, I wish I had done this. So I'm curious, like, what have you tried to change and improve on when you've revisited Luminous for sequels and online editions and that sort of thing?
その後やったことは、まあ、なんか結構未来に向けて。
You know, years after we've released all these different versions, I can say this now, but I think at those moments that we were working on a sequel or the next one, what we were really doing is we were experimenting for what we can do at that time or experimenting really for the future. And what I mean by that is, for example, for Luminous 2, we were like, okay, well, here are these music videos. Can we really
まあ、そういうこう
synthesize these with the game mechanics. How is that going to work out? And so we experimented that. You can, you know, call it as maybe just trials of what we were doing. We didn't know exactly how it was going to turn out when we were doing it, but we were really just trying to push the Luminous sort of, you know, core forward by integrating different elements. So for, let's say, Electronic Symphony, you know, we had a brand new hardware, the PS Vita, with higher resolution. So we wanted to see what the output of a Luminous experience would look like on the new handheld. But going back to Luminous, as you sort of said, and I tend to agree that the original Luminous had all the sort of basic ingredients in there. It was very sort of perfected way. No waste. That's, I guess that's kind of the easiest way for me to, you know, put it in or say that how Luminous was presented. And so I have really strong feelings towards the original Luminous and how we were able to execute and deliver on those core concepts that we came up with. And so I think that sort of naturally led to a desire to bring the original Luminous back in a way that we are, we have announced that Luminous Remastered is coming out in June. So what I really hope for is that there is a brand new audience that gets to play and experience Luminous for the first time, but also for those fans and players who had played it on previous consoles, previous releases, that they get to play it on a current gen system. So I'm really looking forward to the release of Luminous Remastered.
Yeah, I had prepared a lot of questions about many of your other games that came after Luminous, but we're running low on time, and I know we both need to get over to Bit Summit. So I guess this is just going to be a Luminous interview, and we'll kind of wrap up here. But before we end this, I did want to talk a little bit about the remaster. You said that, you know, the sequels that you created, those were experiments, and that you're going back to the original Luminous with Luminous Remastered. So, you know, with that in mind, like, how have those experiments with the sequels informed the work you're doing with Luminous Remastered? Like, going back, you know, what is it now, 13 years to that first game, like, how are you able to bring your experiences with the follow-ups to remaking the game that started it all for new platforms?
結構前からそのやっぱりまあ初代のルミネスだんだんまあ PSP が
Yes, there are obviously were a lot of I think learnings and trials and experiments that we did post the original Luminous. But there are a few things that kind of informed me around this time recently that helped me decide and to bring back the original Luminous. One is actually has gone by, but I have always kept on hearing from the original Luminous fans that they still want to play it in the way that they did and the way that it was very familiar to them, but they either don't carry around or play anything on their PSP anymore, or they don't have their PSP anymore, or it's broken. I'm not going to buy a PSP just to play Luminous. And so I kept on hearing that from sort of the fan community side. And then I always wanted to, I was telling myself that if I were to kind of bring back the original Luminous, there's got to be something new, maybe not in the form of content or skins or music, but like there's got to be some sort of new element to it. And that would help me create that opportunity, you know, for myself to bring it back. And so when the Switch was announced and we were presented with the HD Rumble, the haptics, I just felt like this was the right time to see what we can do if we brought back the original Luminous. And by that, what I mean is like very obviously important. And if you could feel the sound, and I tend to say that there's like texture to sounds. And so if you could really feel that while you're playing, and the higher the sort of, you know, experience or the enhanced experience you get, the better sort of feeling and overall experience you get by playing Luminous, that's asked for. And so I had a good sense that it would work with the Switch. And so that was kind of a decision. And for the other consoles, like I said earlier, I wanted to obviously bring it back for those who had played it back in the days, but also present it to a new audience. Obviously, all the consoles are running at 4K now, and so just seeing, being able to, you know, visually see how sort of beautifully Luminous can be displayed on the screen, and having that rich audiovisual experience means a lot to the game. So it didn't take me very long to make that decision to bring Luminous Remastered to all the consoles at this time.
Switch, there, you know, a big part of the system's appeal is how easy it is to, you know, take off the Joy-Cons and have a bunch of people play together all at once. Are you taking advantage of that, or do you really see, you know, Luminous, the original Luminous, as a handheld experience first and foremost for a single player?
Well, まずそれがその中心にあるのはその通りかなと思いますね。で、それを
Yeah, I think it's safe to say that the fundamental core experience that we designed for Luminous, the original Luminous, doesn't change. Even though we're bringing it back and, you know, you have versus two player, you can play it on tabletop mode or TV mode. You can have people watching it behind you, your friends or family. As you play, yes, there are different ways to now enjoy it, the output, but I think the core sort of fundamental spot that Luminous is at is that it's a single player experience that was originally meant to be, you know, played as a handheld experience. So that really doesn't change, but it is true that now bringing it to these consoles and being able to have people around you, friends around you, and maybe, you know, some of your friends are just feeling like they're listening to music that you're playing, or one of your other friends is really just getting this very visual experience with music just coming in from the background. Anyone can sort of have their own way of this. So that is an added sort of bonus that we didn't have before, whether it's that or playing versus two player against a friend or having, you know, online leaderboards. You know, there are various ways to enjoy the sort of competitive aspect of the game. But at its core, at its root, I think it's okay to say that it was born to be a single player sort of handheld experience first and foremost.
And so Luminous Remastered is out in June for Switch and Xbox
out,
One.
Sorry, I'm answering this, but just so you know, it's coming out June 26th.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll look forward to it. So I think we'll end here. Thank you very much for your time, Ms. And Kyoko, thank you for interpreting again. Hopefully, I've got all these other questions to ask about your other games and the other, you know, the creative process there. So hopefully we can meet up again sometime and work through those as well. But okay. we'll wrap here.
Yeah, maybe next time, to be continued.
Exactly.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks again.
Thank you.